The following program is rated TV-MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
One time at the VA treatment center. Yeah, man, I didn't get to put a Veterans Day episode out. They didn't give me computer time at the in the computer lab. They're fucking with my meds. that's the veterans battle cry. How does it go? They're fucking with my meds. And that was that voice that I tried to come up with a while back that they use, where they're like this, in every sentence, like this, like, okay. Like, I just noticed when I rebooted the day, reawoke this morning, turned on the tube and to news hacks, and there was McCarthy down at the border putting on some press junket, you know, some photo op. Anyway, he was delivering some type of address, speech pertaining to the border, and he sounded exactly like Trudeau. Exactly the same mannerisms, the same voice inflections, the same iterations, all of it, same cadence. So I could only speculate that they probably went to the same speech or acting coach, I would presume. Perhaps. Far be it for me to assume anything, but that sure what it fucking looks like. Like, hell, for all we know, the same actor who plays Trudeau could also play McCarthy. Is that his name? Fuck, did I forget already? That's odd. McCarthy, because that was the guy that chased down all the commies back in the 50s, you know. That was a conspiracy theory. Anyway, yeah, a lot going on. I after this morning's episode, I thought about it, that NASCAR garage example wasn't, you know, quite as appropriate as I thought it was at the time. I mean, it alludes to, you know, the fabrication and production of these fucking events and the overreaction and the placement and all of that. But obviously, when there's a loss of life, it's a totally different situation. So I guess a better analogy would be, you know, comparing it to just any other mass shooting where you don't ever get any of the details. Oh, you don't even know what the fuck happened. Hammer time. And San Francisco, with the former, soon to be former Speaker of the House's spouse, who was interacting with a fucking a gay prostitute at 2 o'clock in the morning in their underwear with hammers. That's the most you'll find out. And someone, you know, some reporter, some local reporter who dared to share more was suspended and fired for fabricating the truth. Oh, fuck. But besides all that, man, I mean, you know, just getting back to shit. Or not getting back. I just misspoke. It's not about making America great again or getting back to our traditional values or any returning to any previous time. It amounts to telling motherfuckers to stop acting the way they are now. I don't need to return to the way it was. My friends, and there are many of them all over the fucking geographical span of the United States of America that all feel the same way. There's a very small percentage of people, whether they belong here or not, that are living in this country that can't assimilate to us, to the responsibilities of freedom, the responsibilities of being a king. Can you dig it? Do you understand it? These people with power, Joe Biden isn't kingly. He acts like, well, like a commoner who usurped the throne. He's not a noble. He's not an aristocrat. He didn't come from aristocracy, aristocracy, that's it. He doesn't know how to act. Nouveau rich? Yeah, he's white trash that's in the White House. And, you know, hey, again, you know, sorry, I don't, you know, mean to be insulting, but it is what it is. There are just different types of people, you know? Just because you're a certain color doesn't mean you have to act or be a certain way. It's a free country. You can do whatever the fuck you want as long as you're not imposing your will on other kings. You see? Because again, this is the United States of America, and perhaps it's hard for my European and other region friends to quantify the idea that, yes, over 200 years ago, this country said fuck you to all kings other than the creator, which is what that we bow to. And that right that we stand upon is decreed by God, not the president, not an executive order, not a fucking mandate, not a congressional act or a Senate approval. None of that. Not a military coup. Not anything, not a pandemic, nothing supersedes our sovereignty as kings and representative of our kingdoms. And yes, there were 300 million of us, at least over here. You know, you get rid of all the fucking illegals and all of a sudden we've got plenty of resources, plenty of money. We pull our poor up out of poverty. Huh? Our middle class moves up. Next thing you know, we're not paying, don't need to pay any taxes because we're flourishing in our economies and our exports. We make more on exports than we are charged. That type of situation, like Trump was trying to create, because the opposite, the hand outside, the fucking ticks, the scumbags, the trash of all shapes and sizes and colors, they don't understand it. They live, I believe it's the tragedy of the commons, where, hey, there's plenty of resources. Let's all gorge ourselves. And then, oh, fuck, we have nothing left. Now we have to resort to cannibalism. There's no need to do that. And you can't, you know, you can't help others if you can't help yourself. So, sure, back when, you know, around the time, I guess right before I was born, or even, you know, yeah, it was definitely before that, because I was born straight away into Jimmy Carter fucking gas lines and government cheese and shit. But we were prosperous in the land of plenty, and we could hand out fucking money to people because we were, you know, the average middle class family of mom, dad, biological, female and male, reproducing two children, 2.5 children, could all exist with a mortgage, you know, and a vehicle, and on one blue collar salary. And I saw it. I grew up around it, all over my neighborhood. My neighborhood was blue collar. This dude's dad worked at the Ford plant. This dude's dad worked at GMC. This dude's dad was HVAC. This dude's dad was a mechanic. And none of the moms worked. And they all had brothers and sisters with cool bikes and cool toys. And dad would go to work every day, come home, yell at everybody, make everyone laugh, and then go to bed. That was it. That was America. But then, you know, they had to insist that mom get out there and get a job too, because why should she have to stay home and mend clothes and cook food and clean house and help children with homework and shit like that, when she could be out there staying at an embassy suites as a career advertising agent, traveling across the country, getting COVID shots and wearing masks and fucking finding love on dating apps. Sorry, maybe I went off a little too much there. But yeah, you don't have to get back to anything. Just fucking, you know, be who you are and stop letting these motherfuckers try to impose their weird ass fucking ways on us, whatever they are. You know, if you're from another country and you made it here, you know, okay, cool. Keep it on the down low. You know, get a good job somewhere, cook some good Mexican food, and we'll just act like, you know, no one knows who, how you are, how you got here, where you came from. But if you start running down, up and down the street, waving your fucking flag from wherever the fuck you came from, screaming and yelling about all the fucking rights that you've had, that you have now that you've fucking snuck your ass in here, then I've got a problem with that. Right? Yeah. And if you want to do any number of things to your body and your sex organs, and you've got some willing adult friends to participate in them with you, go at it, man. Go do your fucking thing somewhere. You don't have to do it in the middle of the park once a month every year. Fuck. Anyway.
Come on, man.
So I was thinking, you know, I know you heard the earth rumble, and I was fondly recalling back, well, back when I was in the United States Navy, I used to do heavy resistance training with a group of guys. There were at least five of us. Sometimes there would be even more. Sometimes people would come in, but usually there was a group of like five or six of us. My buddy and I were Navy. He was Mr. Hawaii. One, there was Big Rob, it was Marine. Another Big Rob was a SEAL from Houston. There was Red Kev. He was just Red Kev, and he was a SEAL. And he, what a character. And we had another Filipino hospital corpsman that was just, he was as wide as he was tall. Fucking really strong, and he could push some serious weight. And I remember one time he said something like, he said, man, if I was your size, I'd be able to bench like 1,000 pounds. I was like, come on, dude, think about it. The only reason you could bench what you do more than me now is because your range of motion is like fucking 3 inches. I mean, I go, look how far I have to make the fucking weight travel. You know, gym talk, whatever. There's plenty of it. But I worked out with these dudes, man. And I have a number of fond memories, but one in particular, it was especially doing squats. And, you know, I started weight training when I was 14, 15. Yeah, 15, I believe, 14 or 15, when my buddy's father got me into it. And I've trained all over the world with dudes from all branches of the service, motherfuckers from all over the world. One of my favorite training partners was a Samoan dude. As I've said before, if you want to get big and strong, get a Samoan training partner. I was also certified by the National Association of Sports Medicine as a group and individual rehabilitation trainer. You know, I trained people for as a profession when I got out, and I also trained friends and that kid that worked for me for a couple of years. He was, you know, good looking kid. I think he was like 6'1" at least. Quarterback. He had a quarterback build. And then winter, when I laid him off, I invited him to come work out over my house 3 days a week, and he did. And then the next spring, when I put him back to work, I remember people would see him and go, wow, hey, were you working out with your boss? And he's like, yeah. And they would say, but you could tell, because he just, he put on like 20 pounds over the winter. And honestly, seriously, naturally, just because he went from no resistance training to 3 days a week of heavy resistance training. And his body responded by packing on mass. I did the same thing to my nephew before he came up to his freshman year of high school that summer. Outside of his sports programs, I got him a gym membership and brought him in there, and he was training with my aforementioned Samoan friend, and he got to work out with us, you know, when we were squatting 6 and 7 plates, and then we'd strip it down for him to pump out 2 and 3. That affected his psyche, because when school started, he was, you know, squatting 400 or 500 pounds and bench pressing close to 3. And then, one, you know, down here in Texas, once football starts, when school starts their freshman year, they start doing weightlifting as a in the gym class. So I remember my nephew telling me, yeah, when we started weight training, he said that the coach pulled him out and told him to show everybody how to spot, because I had trained him how to spot, like powerlifter spot. Like with the dudes that I squatted with, one of my favorite memories was Friday night squat nights, man. We would all show up there, depending on your duty or if you were, you know, on the island at the time. And we just squat heavy, and there you'd have 3 spotters, a guy behind you and a guy on each side of the weights. So, and then you're inside of the squat rack, so failure is not an option, it's the only option. And when you're squatting like that, I mean, you do as many as you can, and then that dude behind you comes up and gets in under your armpits, and then the two of you crank out 3 or 4 more, and then you guys start getting wobbly, and then the other two guys, they start chipping in, you guys bust out at least 2 or 3 more, then you throw the weight up on the rack, and then it's, you know, 15 to 20 minutes at least before you get your next set. So you pretty much just collapse, you're fucked. It, by the time your body is starting to recover, it's your turn to go again. And then the next day when you wake up, your fucking legs hurt when you brush your teeth. That's how you get big. I've worked out all, you know, like I said, all over the fucking place, in and out of gyms. Just, I don't know how many times dudes, young dudes, old dudes, dudes my age, whatever, have come up to me and asked, hey man, what's the best advice to get big, just to put on mass? You know, obviously other than steroids, growth hormone, some type of performance enhancing supplement. And I always respond, squats, heavy squats. And usually people, well, you know, I do leg presses and, you know, that's great, but it's not squatting because, you know, you also have to incorporate the weight of your upper body, you know, and you've got that weight squishing you like a beer can, like a soda can, man. So you know, it's not like you're sitting down and pressing, and sure, you know, leg press could cause serious injury to you if you fail and can't control it, but it's just not like squatting. So anyway, yeah, you know, I remember one time being in there doing my thing and going hard, you know, trying to make some gains, impress my friends, and I came out from under the weight, like racked the weight, and I wobbled a little bit, and I remember barfing and hearing voices going, whoa, yo, hi, and then, and when I came to, I was propped up against the wall, and there was a bucket with a swab sitting there where somebody had cleaned the puke up real quick and then propped it up against the wall, and they propped me up, and then like right as I fucking opened up, I'm looking around like, what the fuck? Like, hey, yeah, come on, buddy, you're almost up. And then the corpsman, he always had smelling salts. He would crack one open and put it in an empty baby food jar, because those motherfuckers would eat like baby food, you know, for snacks. Good healthy snack, you know. Yeah, whatever. But yeah, so you know, I took a couple whiffs of that, woke my ass up, and then got under there and started pressing weights again. It's like that dickhead Arnold Schwarzenegger. I remember when I actually admired that motherfucker 30 years ago and I read his autobiography. He said how he made huge gains when he would squat outside and he used two trees as the rack. So they screwed hooks into the trees, and then obviously it was the right distance to perfectly hold an Olympic barbell. And you take it off the trees, and then you squat until you fail, and then you just let it fall to the earth, and then you can collapse forward and let the weight fall backwards, and then strip the weight, put it back up and pack it again, and next guy goes. I remember him saying he working out in the forest was unlike any other workout he'd ever done. And you're standing on the soft earth, so as you're doing reps, you're being pushed into the ground. That's how you get big, man. That's how you get big. You have to dive into it. You don't fucking order some shit online and start fucking using it and then get a gym membership and walk around with skin-tight clothes on, gloating about how fantastic you fucking look. You get your equipment or sign up to a gym, and then you say, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to get into this, and in a couple of weeks, I'm going to start seeing results, and then in a month, I'm going to start getting strength, and then in 3 months, I'm going to start looking good, and then somewhere around 6 to 9 months, I'm going to hit a plateau, and then I'm going to have to train even harder, and then I'm going to explode, and it's going to be dense muscle mass. It's not going to be water bloated muscle fiber comboed with whatever the fuck is going on in the shit stew that you got going on because you fucking bought some shit online or one of your coaches gave it to you or something. I mean, it just, you know, in the whole low T thing, I mean, I understand it. If it helps improve quality of life for older people, I can understand it. And I, you know, I'd consider doing it now. I never did steroids previously because too many people have accused me of doing them. And it was always my belief that as long as I've never done them, you know, it's like, yeah, accuse away. Piss test me, search my locker, do whatever you want to do. I'm not on steroids. I'm natural. Sorry that it's beyond your belief that I could look like this naturally. And again, I'm not being braggadocious. I'm just saying, people are stupid. And I remember, I think it was, it was training. When I was in A school, I got hit with like two or three locker inspections in like a week. And I remember at the last one, I was standing there and the chief was looking in the locker, and I was like, "Chief, I go, would you mind telling me what y'all are looking for?" And he goes, "Steroids." And I go, "I'm not on steroids." "Well, if you are, we'll find them." I go, "Chief," I go, "trust me," I go, "you must not know, with all due respect, you must not know much about steroids, because if I was on steroids, you would fucking know, because I would be probably 50 to 60 pounds heavier." And I remember him looking at me like, "No," he was like, "yeah, no shit." And I go, "Yes." I go, "The way I weight train, if I was pumping any type of steroid in me, even a fucking a cutter, I would still have 30 pounds of mass on me. 30 pounds, chief. How much bigger would I look if I had 50 pounds on me, if I was jacking some fucking test?" So, you know, you can piss test me, you can check my locker every single day, you can follow me back and forth to the gym. Why, I don't know, but I'm not on steroids. Anyway, you know, a little too personal. But it does kind of allude to some other shit I was thinking about. I remember one time I got in trouble when I was in the Navy. Some E7 tried to pull some bullshit on me and got me hung up, and I couldn't get out of it. But I negotiated it down to 40 hours of extra military instruction, EMI. I had to go every day after work. I had to go into the headquarters and sit in the conference room with the doors open where any passerby could see me. And I had to sit there and read Navy regs for an hour. I had to do, maybe he wanted me to do 40 hours and I cut it down to 8, I think. Yeah. Because I'd been like 8 hours UA, but I finagled using some annual leave to cover my unauthorized absence so no one noticed. But then this chief found out and he said, "Hey, you don't have to burn your leave. You could just take a little EMI and then it won't cost you any leave." So I thought he was doing me a solid, and I was like, "Okay, cool." And then when I reported for my EMI, he told me I had 40 hours. And I go, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, 8 hours for, 5 hours for every 8 hours." He had some fucked up mathematical equation that he was using to justify making me do 40 hours. And I go, "Fuck that." I said, "I told you I'd use the annual." He goes, "Too late. It's already been submitted." I go, "Cool." So I walk straight into the Master Chief's office. I go, "This dude's fucking nuts." I go, "Either fucking chop it down or I'm going to request a fucking court martial and he's going to have to testify that he fucking willfully rat fucked me." So I got 8 hours and I sat there and read Navy regs for 8 hours. So guess what? They created a fucking monster, because when I came out of there after 8 hours, in fact, I remember staying there a little longer a couple of times because I was interested in what I was reading. I was discovering what they could and couldn't do to me. It's all right there in black and white. It's like I told my ex-Navy buddy, man, when the whole COVID thing went down, and I remember him saying, "What about the military?" I goes, "Don't worry about it, because there's going to be plenty of motherfuckers like me that are going to dive into Navy regs and figure out a way, and they're going to print it out on a piece of paper, and they're going to laminate it, and they're going to hand it to all their fucking subordinates, and then when these motherfuckers come in here, you show them this fucking Navy reg, and then they can collect them all, and they go to the chain of command, they say, this is what they're standing on, and that'll buy us time. And I'd suggest all you motherfuckers go out and buy a Bible or a Quran or whatever you worship to and start learning it, because that's our next move." Right? And they expect that. That's what makes the fucking military great, because that's the United States military. As I've told you before, you know, when they were catching me stealing food out of the mess hall, and they started coming down on me until I was no longer being caught stealing food. As I mentioned before, I was threatened with bread and water in the brig if I got caught stealing food one more fucking time. and I never got caught again. Okay, so subversiveness, I don't know what you call it. It's that inside the structure, the giant machine that is the military, just, you know, specifically the Navy. Yeah, you've got these so many different people and different jobs and different walks of life and all there for different reasons. This motherfucker's there for a year to get, you know, the GI Bill money for tuition, and this motherfucker's there because his, you know, he's planning on being there for a career, doing whatever job they give him because it's the best opportunity any generation of his family has ever had. Yeah, and then you have other cats like me, they're just in there going day by day. You know, maybe they're going to re-enlist, maybe they'll make a career of it, I don't know, but as long as I'm here, you know, I'll make the best of it. But signed away for 5 years, you have to learn how to negotiate that type of environment. Then you come out and you're lost trying to figure out what's going on until you finally realize that you live in a paramilitary society where basically, you know, the commander in chief is barking orders at everybody on a daily fucking basis. And your first response should be, what the fuck happened to the chain of command? This guy shouldn't even be talking to me, much less threatening me with discipline and fucking orders and shit. I mean, we're not in a situation where you can just buck the fucking all the links of the chain of command. That shit doesn't happen. Unless everybody's dead in between. So, again, you know, and then, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to get shot, you're going to wear a mask, and winner of death, and, you know, the whole time I'm like, this motherfucker's full of shit, surely he knows he doesn't have fucking 2 feet to stand on, and obviously he didn't. All the motherfuckers that refused it are winning lawsuits, and Trump's talking about he'll reinstate them if they want to come back, but it's too late, they moved on. I hope, as I've said before, I hope all the motherfuckers that had to leave the U.S. Armed Forces, came back to the state of Texas, the Republic, and joined the various reserve units here to become guardsmen of the state of Texas. Fuck the federal government. You won't get deployed fucking anywhere other than regions of the fucking state of Texas, like the border. So I told my nephews 10, 15 years ago, if you wanna serve, serve somewhere around Texas. I go, Border Patrol, be a cop, join the Texas Guard. I go, there's a fucking war right down the street. Don't worry about what's happening in the Middle East. It doesn't concern you. Oh, and by the way, this family has punched the card, so you motherfuckers don't owe this country anything. Yeah. So, you know, just having said all that, man, it's just, you know, one of those days that I'm back. I got my podcast going again. People are listening again. Getter still have traffic over there. I don't get a lot of interactions with my posts. People keep following me for some reason. You know, as I said before, man, if you ever find yourself in a FEMA camp and you look across the way and you see me and you go, hey, not recognize. Hey, dude, I think I followed you on whatever. That is not on me, all right?
In what century are they in?
Fuck you, son!